Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. And happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day to everyone.
Yes.
Yes, and this is a great, great day. Great day.
Hallelujah,
and,
brother.
Amen. Great day in salvation history. You know, St. Paul said, if there was no resurrection, then we're still in our sins.
And our faith is in vain.
Yeah, and our faith is in vain. And he did first what we're going to do later. So this is really an exciting day, and it's the ultimate sign that what Jesus said and did was real.
He's the first fruits.
It's true. He's the first fruits. And I hope you've had an awesome day thinking about that, and I hope you've attended whatever church you go to, and I hope you've thought very seriously about this, because this is a really, really important day.
Exactly. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain.
Yes.
It means nothing.
Yes.
Because that's the right means of salvation.
Yes.
By his life, death, and resurrection.
Yes. And one of the most ancient praises of the church from the ancient days was, he is risen, and people would respond, he is risen indeed.
Yes,
because exactly. That's an absolutely fundamental part of the faith.
Yes.
Because if there was no resurrection, then we put our hopes in a dead man. Mm-hmm. And that's not really that great.
No.
Yeah. So, Steve, why don't you read, since we seem to be like doing Luke's gospel for a while, why don't you read Luke's account? This is in chapter 24, starting in verse 1. So, and grab your Bibles and read along, unless you're driving.
Okay. But at daybreak, on the first day of the week, they took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words.
Mm. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much there.
Wow. Yeah.
There's so much there.
This is, I like Luke's account. Well, of course, I like all the accounts. I mean,
is this your favorite passage?
No, I have 600 favorite passages. But this is, of course, discussed in all four Gospels, because this is like we just said a minute ago, this is a fundamental truth. This is a fundamental part of the faith. It's a fundamental part of salvation history.
Yes.
And here it's kind of interesting, because the women go there to the tomb, and of course, it is Sunday morning, because they can't go to the tomb on the Sabbath. So they have to wait till the Sabbath is over. And looking back to day before yesterday, when it was Good Friday, if you remember, the bodies had to be taken down from the cross before sunset, because the sunset was the Sabbath.
Right.
And because that was Passover, that was a very, very important Sabbath. So that's why they had to kind of hurry up. You know, the other two guys were still alive. They broke their legs because they had to hurry up and kill them, because they had to get all these bodies down off the cross.
Yeah.
And Jesus was already dead, so they took him down, and they really didn't have time to do kind of the customs of the burial.
Right.
Because the day was almost over.
Yeah.
And since it was March or April, we know that it was Passover.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when Christmas happened. We don't know when Jesus was born, but we know when he died, it was Passover. It's pretty clear. So it was March or April. This year it happens to be March. Some years it's April. But he was put into the tomb. So these women who had followed him in ministry, they had kind of known him for the last 3 years, and they assisted the ministry. They went to sort of finish the burial custom.
Right.
Now that the Sabbath was over.
To anoint the body with spices.
Because if they'd have touched the body on Saturday, which of course started Friday night at sundown, they would have been defiled. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have been able to eat the Passover.
Right.
And so they go on Sunday morning. And it's pretty neat that the one thing they got to worry about is, man, who's going to roll that big stone away? because when they put the body in the tomb, it says, you know, the tomb was fresh tomb, hewn out of rock. Nobody had ever laid in it before.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put a big stone in front of it. So kind of like a cave-like thing.
Right.
So, you know, these women go and they say, well, you know, it's going to roll the stone away. And they see that the stone's already rolled away, which is kind of neat. Then, of course, they're kind of surprised that there's no body. You know, there's not a body in here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're surprised because they were there on Good Friday. They saw the cross. They saw him on the cross. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him taken down from the cross.
Yes.
His mother was also there. And these women, it doesn't say Mary, his mother, was at the tomb, but these women who were at the tomb that morning, they had seen him put into the tomb. So they knew that these people took a dead man's body off of a cross and put this dead body into a tomb, because mm-hmm. they were there when they saw it.
Wrapped him in the burial cloths and placed him in there.
And they weren't reacting to something they had heard from somebody or, you know, some second or third hand information. They were there when it was being done as it was happening. So when there was not a body in there, they were surprised.
Yes, very surprised.
Yes.
They're puzzled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's he at?
Yeah, what's happened?
Why is the stone rolled away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is the very first part of the day, at daybreak.
Yes, exactly.
And they're the first ones there. And, you know, you're as you're describing it, you know, these were the women that who had come from Galilee with him and mm-hmm. followed behind him. And there wasn't time to do the anointing of the body and the prepare the body for burial as was the custom.
Yeah.
Because it was the Passover and it was the Sabbath. So they go there first thing in the morning to do this. And so they're there, and then they see these two men in dazzling garments appear before them.
Yeah.
And it's always, you know, when angels appear, it's like,
they're afraid.
They're afraid.
They fall down on their faces.
Angels are just big, and you know we're not used to.
Yeah, they're not
them,
like little chubby things with little wings.
No,
with a little harp in their hand, they're kind of big and scary.
Yeah,
and every time, as Steve's alluding to the fact that you read through scriptures, every time a human encounters an angel, the angel has to say, "Don't be afraid."
Yes,
even Gabriel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary.
Don't be afraid.
Everything's cool." So people get afraid, so they fall to their faces.
Yeah,
because there's two of them at the tomb. Mm-hmm. And they're wearing, you know, the Luke writes it as they're wearing shiny garments, or mm-hmm. you know, they're like kind of glowing.
Yeah.
So a first century person would have said, "Oh, you know, they're wearing shiny garments." So you know, it didn't mean like they had a silk suit on, or they had like some kind of aluminum suit on, or anything. Not a shiny suit. they were kind of glowing. And these women went there, they were looking for this man that they called their master
mm-hmm.
in grave clothes. They were looking for a dead body
in burial clothes,
wrapped up in burial cloths.
Yep.
And what they saw was these two angels in shiny bodies.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And no dead human body.
No dead human body. The stones rolled away and...
Yeah. Yeah. And they actually... Not only were they shocked, but they didn't know what had happened. They wanted to see him again because they wanted to finish the burial preparation. Yeah. But man, they weren't expecting this.
And then the angel tells them something that they really weren't expecting, probably weren't expecting to hear, although Jesus prepared them for this.
That's right.
Why do you seek the living one among the dead?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Yeah, the living one. You know, he said, and they said, remember when he told you about this? Remember he said the third day? Remember he said he's going to be handed over to evil men? He was going to be killed. And on the third day, he was going to rise?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello? Were you guys paying attention? And, you know, interestingly, this was we call this Easter morning. We call this the morning of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. They would have gone there saying, today's the Feast of First Fruits, because this was the Feast of First Fruits. Mm-hmm. This is one of the seven feast days of the Lord that's given through the Torah that the people had to celebrate.
Right.
So they didn't go to the tomb going, well, it's Easter morning.
No.
You know, it's going to go look for the eggs now. They said, this is the day of first fruits, but we can go. We got to go finish this burial thing because our master's dead and we have to finish the burial. Yeah. So they didn't get the connection between first fruits. They didn't really understand what he had told them,
right,
that he was going to suffer, die, and on the third day he was going to be raised. And that this is the victory over death and the grave.
Yeah, and it's on the Feast of First Fruits.
So what he did first, we're going to do later. Yes,
exactly.
You know, someday our mortal bodies are going to rise up and become glorified bodies, and is going to join our soul in heaven. Now, some people's bodies are going to join their souls in hell, but our bodies are going to be joined to our soul in heaven. And it's going to be awesome. And I like to think my glorified body will even have hair. But, okay, you guys don't know that because you don't know who I am. But anyway, for those of you that know who I am, you can laugh for a minute. But this is going to be the whole thing of the good news, because sin leads to death. You know, St. Paul said, the wages of sin is death. All men sin, therefore all men die. But now, we're in this covenant of grace where the atonement of the Messiah has brought righteousness and life.
Mm-hmm.
So we were dead in sin and trespass, Paul says in Romans. Now we're alive because of this. And when these women went to find this dead man, they found that he's not dead. He's among the living. And the angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? So they don't know at this point, they don't know what to think, but he told them about it.
And it says, and they remembered his words.
They saw the clothes in the tomb. They heard the angel say, remember he told you this in Galilee? The angels witnessed to the fact that the Messiah is alive.
Mm-hmm.
The angels witnessed to it. You know, these are heavenly witnesses. We don't know who these two angels were. Doesn't sound like they're Gabriel and Michael or anybody. I mean, they might have been some lower level angels. But anyway,
I think Gabriel had the day off.
Gabriel's day off, first fruits and everything. But it was the this ultimate sign of resurrection is first attested to by these angels. They're sent just for this purpose, to tell these women that, you know what? He's a living savior. He's not here with dead people. He's a living savior. He's not some kind of a dead teacher that everybody's going to remember and say, wow, wasn't he really good? And he's not a dead hero, like somebody who dies in a battle, somebody who dies, you know, serving their country or protecting somebody. He's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look for the Lord of life in a place where there's dead people.
Right.
Because he's not here.
Right.
He was dead. And it's important to know that. You know, the creeds of the church have always said he died. He physically died and was buried. So it wasn't an illusion. He didn't go into like a stupor and then wake up again.
Yeah.
He didn't use his divinity to make it look like his body was dead. His body was dead.
Yes.
And now his body is alive. And he's also not just some other rabbi who was an interesting teacher. There were lots of people walking around that were teachers.
Right.
He wasn't like that. He's a living savior.
Yes. And I think, you know, it's, as you're saying, he's the living savior. He's not just some other prophet, some other teacher, some other rabbi, mm-hmm. some other, you know, Joe Schmo. No offense to Joe Schmo, but
he gets named a lot.
Yeah. I'm sure God loves Joe Schmo too. But Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's a lot of voices out there that will try and dissuade you from believing that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Exactly.
And what's all the fuss about?
Exactly.
Well, the fuss is about, if you don't have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who is your Savior, who paid the atonement for your sins,
yeah,
then we're in a whole
and you're still
world
in your
of
sins.
Trouble. We're still in our sin. And you know, I think it's important to point out too that they place guards at the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did not want anybody. They did not want anybody saying, "Oh well, they didn't want the disciples coming and mm-hmm. taking the body
mm-hmm.
and then saying that he was raised from the dead."
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, so the authorities knew that what was happening.
Yes.
And they placed the guards at the tomb just so that wouldn't happen.
Yeah. I've often wondered about that, mm-hmm. thinking these high priests, these Pharisee types that had done this essentially.
Yeah.
Probably had to think, wow, you know, he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't see the angels. They wouldn't have talked to these women. They wouldn't have been caught dead talking to these women.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to know something had happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pilate was a pagan, and Pilate probably didn't care, whatever. But the guys who were the religious leaders, they had to have been affected by this in some yeah. way.
And the thing is, yeah, we don't know. It is, you bring up an interesting question. What did the people that were associated with this mm-hmm. whole, with everything that transpired with his, with the trial, with
yes.
his, you know, with the crucifixion, what did those
exactly.
people think when they found out that the tomb was empty?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And the guards that were there at the tomb.
Yeah.
Wonder what happened
to them.
What happened to
they
them?
They probably ran away. Especially if the stone. And remember, the stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so that the women and then Peter could come in.
Yes.
Jesus didn't have to roll the stone away to get out.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he could just walk through it at that point.
Yeah, but a lot of people think, well, you know, the stone's rolled away good, so then, you know, that's how we know the resurrection happened. But it's so that people could go in to see that it happened.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Then the angels say, hey, remember what he told you in Galilee? And then it says, then they remembered. Because these women were there. They were following the group around.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have remembered it. They should have been sort of thinking about this because he said he was going to die. He was going to rise on the third day. So when it went that morning, they should have thought to themselves, you know, this is the third day, because in the Jewish tradition, part of a day is the same as a day, part of a night is the same as a night, and the day starts at sundown. So it was the third day. They should have remembered this. They should have known that the angel wasn't really bringing them any news. Jesus already told them
right.
that this was going to happen. But the angels reminded them.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, they'd been through a lot this last couple of days.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those people, the guys that were hiding in the upper room, the women, they had been through a lot because this was a very traumatic experience.
Right.
So there they were. They didn't believe he was risen. They brought spices to anoint a dead person.
Ooh, the blast, the trumpet shofar. Blast.
Woo.
Hallelujah, he's risen.
Amen. Well, we'll be right back in a minute. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org and also find us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
You are the Holy One, highly exalted. no other one like you. Come now and fill this place. Be exalted in our praise. Let it be known today that you are God. You are God. You are the Holy One. Highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill. Here we come, Lord. You are the Holy One. Highly exalted One. And we surrender to your sovereign will. Oh, the Lord God of Abraham. For the Lord, He is God, and He shall reign forevermore, evermore. For the Lord, He is God. For the Lord, He is God, and He shall reign forevermore.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're going through the account of the resurrection, mostly from Luke.
Hallelujah, brother.
Yeah. That's amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
So, Stephen, why don't you read a little bit more from that Luke passage?
Okay, Luke 24. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Jonah, and Mary, the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles. But their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw the burial clothes alone. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened.
That's neat.
Wow.
So these women, they finally get what happened. So the first thing they think of is they better run to where the apostles are.
Yeah.
Because these brave guys are like hiding out. Because they think, oh man, you know, they crucified the Lord. Now next they're going to come after us.
Yeah.
So I always picture Peter kind of like looking out the window, looking out the little peephole in the door and seeing if anybody's coming. And, you know, these women run in and they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they had forgotten what Jesus told them in Galilee, too.
Has anybody ever been risen from the dead before?
Yeah.
You know, they forgot about Lazarus being rose from the dead?
That's right. And they even saw that happen.
Yeah.
And they also forgot about these words in Galilee that he was going to rise on the third day.
Yeah.
You'd think that they would have this in their mind as these events were unfolding from Good Friday, but they didn't. And it says, you know, this sounded like nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounded like, you know, the Greek word means like an idle tale that you tell that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, this sounds silly.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? He's dead. He's in the tomb. They don't believe it. And, you know, the other thing was, too, that the story was coming from women who, of course, were second-class citizens. A woman wasn't allowed to testify in court because her testimony was not thought to be reliable. So it's like, now here come these women saying, hey, he's risen, he's risen. And these guys say, I don't know.
What are these women talking about?
But Peter kind of, you know, you got to love Peter. You know, he says, I'm going to check this out.
Yeah.
So he goes over. Now he gets what happens.
Yeah.
You know, the other accounts have Peter and John running. Now this account, Luke doesn't talk about John running over there. But anyway, Peter goes to check it out, and then he marvels at what's happened because he sees the clothes, he sees the empty tomb, and then it finally dawns on him what has happened, that he, in fact, is risen from the dead.
Yeah.
And here's the clothes, you know, the head things folded up separate, the other things folded up separate, and he gets it. So when he's walking away from the tomb, he's marveling.
Yeah.
I mean, we can only imagine what's going through his head.
Yeah, we can only imagine. I mean, it, you know, it's, you think of the, of what they went through, of the situation, of the experience that they went through, you know, and if we put ourselves in a similar situation, maybe not the same situation as someone rising from the dead, but some trial or tribulation that we go through, and we lose heart.
Yes.
And we become impatient, we become frightened and afraid, and we don't remember what all the promises that God has made for us and told us over and over again that we hear, you know, if we're going to church on Sunday or we're reading the scripture.
Excellent.
We can all do that. We can all forget about the promises and the unfailing love that God has for us.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what was happening to them.
Exactly.
They, you know, they followed this man for 3 years. He's been put to death. The first thing on their mind is probably, they're going to kill us too.
Exactly. That's why they went and hid.
Yeah. And that's why they hid. And so it's, you know, it's a very, humanly, it's a very real emotion that they're feeling.
Yes.
And that they're experiencing and going through. And, you know, like you said, the guys are going, what?
Yeah, come on.
You know, in our day, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
Get real. But Peter does. He runs to the tomb and he sees things just as they said.
Yeah.
And he's amazed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I often wonder, you know, what was going through his mind?
Mm-hmm.
What was he thinking, seeing those burial cloths?
Exactly.
And the Lord not there.
Yeah, he just was speechless.
Yeah. I mean, all the things that Jesus had told him, everything that, you know, he had said to Jesus, you know.
Wow.
You know, just what was he thinking? Just, you know.
And you bring up an excellent point, because we do this in such a different way, because like you say, we get in situations and we forget that he said, I'm going to be with you all days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always with you. I'm always comforting you. Give me your burdens. Give me the
right.
Because when we get into some kind of situation, we don't think that. We think, oh, I'm in this situation now, and oh, I got a bit. And this is exactly what was going on here. They didn't remember his words.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't remember his words.
Yeah.
I mean, these are guys that said, well, you're the Messiah. Peter said, well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's saying, oh, come on. This is sounds like kind of a crazy story. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, they had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
He said he was going to rise from the dead. They said, you're the Messiah. We want to sit one at your right hand, one at your left hand, all this stuff. But now that he was dead and they were hiding, they're like, what are you girls talking about?
He was
not there anymore.
Yeah.
But at least Peter went to look.
Yes.
which is pretty neat.
We got to credit Peter with
that. Yeah. And I've often thought about what he was thinking as he was looking at the burial cloths.
Yeah.
And then like he walks out, walking back toward the upper room where they were hiding. I just think he was like stone silent, and he just was absolutely speechless.
Probably just astounded.
Astounded.
You know, shock. Just, you know, how do you describe it?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Just utter amazement.
Yes.
That, wow.
And then about 50 days later at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit falls on Peter, then Peter remembers all the things that Jesus taught, all the things that Jesus said, and puts them in a way that he proclaims them to people in a way that they come to faith in the Messiah.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's pretty much blown away, to use a more modern term.
Yeah. Probably not putting two thoughts together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you have, you know, we look back from a 2,000-year perspective, all these centuries of Christian thought and understanding, and we've had the scriptures and we've had commentaries and we've had time to pray about this and think about this and we've learned about it. These guys, it was happening in real time.
And that's what, you know, that's why, like, the situations that we go through in real time, our trials and persecutions, you know, it's relative to what they were going through in real time.
Yes.
Without the knowledge, without the knowledge of what was going to happen ahead of time.
Yes.
We don't know what's going to, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, you know, a week from now.
Yeah.
We'd like to know. And that's why, you know, if we're in a situation that's uncomfortable, we get anxious, we get frightened, and, you know, we do. We forget about the things that Jesus says.
We can be in a situation 10 minutes from now that we're not expecting.
Right.
Before we're off the air.
Is the Lord coming back?
Yeah, I hope so. But
yeah.
But yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's easy for us to look back and say, how come they didn't remember? Hey, how come Peter's so blown away? He should have known this.
And we all do that at times. We're talking to somebody and go, well, don't you see this? Yeah, don't you get it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sometimes when I'm, you know, like sometimes when I'm doing a Bible study and I'm explaining something and I'm thinking, man, I've been explaining this for a minute and a half and they still don't get it. Come on, you guys, let's get with this. And it's interesting too, because they also had heard him talk about, you know, the Pharisees once asked him, well, what sign are you going to give us? What sign do you have?
Oh, and yeah.
He says, well,
none will be given to you.
Yeah, none will be given to you. What sign do you want to show us that you do these, since you do these things? And he says, you know, I'm going to destroy this temple in three days, I will raise it up. You know, and they said, oh, come on. It's taken us 46 years to build this temple.
Yeah.
You're going to raise it up in 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they realized he was speaking about, well, the Pharisees didn't realize it, but he was speaking about his body.
Yeah.
You know, the disciples should have looked back and said, wow, you know what? He said he was going to rebuild this temple in 3 days.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about his body. He was going to rise on the third day.
But did they really think of their bodies as a temple?
Yeah, at that time, they probably didn't.
Yeah.
We know now that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They didn't realize that. And, you know, he when they realized what had happened, that this resurrection had actually taken place, they probably thought back to that and said, you know, he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Then in another place, he said, the only sign you guys are going to get is the sign of Jonah.
Yeah.
The sign of Jonah. What are they talking about? Well, for 3 days, Jonah was in the belly of the whale.
Yeah.
You know, for 3 days, the Son of Man's going to be in the bowels of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's going to come back out.
Yeah.
And when they realized that this resurrection had taken place, did they think back on that and say, wow, he told us that?
Yeah.
Woo.
You know, like when he was telling them about what the queen of, is it the queen of Sheba? Or no, the queen that came to see hear the wisdom of Solomon.
Mm-hmm. The queen of Sheba.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that, but there's something greater here.
Yes.
Than the wisdom of Solomon.
Yes.
You know.
And greater than the temple.
And that that you know, the men of that generation of Nineveh were going to judge this generation.
Yes.
You know, those are really, probably from their perspective, from the Pharisees, they were given the law. They, you know, they were the holy ones.
Yeah.
They were in the temple.
Yes.
These Gentiles are going to judge this generation? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Like, how many times did we say, you know, they said, we're children of Abraham.
Yeah.
Well, maybe God can make these stones children of Abraham if he wants to.
Yeah, if you were, you know, and Jesus tells him, if you're children of Abraham, you wouldn't be trying to kill me.
That's right. If you were children of Abraham, you'd be doing Abraham things.
Exactly. You'd be doing Abraham
things. Yeah, but your father's the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a stirring rebuke.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to hear about these signs.
No.
And he was foretelling, he was showing them that the Son of Man, the Messiah, and he called himself Son of Man many times.
Yes.
It's so important to understand that has a fully human nature.
Yes.
That this was going to be the ultimate sign of his sacrifice in our redemption is in the resurrection.
Yeah.
And he told these guys what was going to happen. Now, he did it in kind of a parable form, you know, to raise up this temple again, you know, sign of Jonah.
Right.
Third day, these things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And it also, you know, I mean, well, that was one of the prophecies. The Messiah would speak in parables.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we're reflecting upon the resurrection, you know, I think about how as this all unfolds, you know, there's many times that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about things, as we're saying. There's many times that he told the disciples about things and then how they forgot those things. And that God's constant care is always there for us. His you know, he's always there to guide us through a situation if we turn to him.
Yes.
You know. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great teaching to reflect upon that Jesus comes and he's going to come and appear to them. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done that yet. But he's going to come right. and appear to them to strengthen them.
Yes.
To encourage them.
Exactly.
And just as he will come in to us and strengthen us and encourage us, you know, we talked last week about, at the very end of the show, about, you know, Peter denying the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but that Jesus raises him back up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in ministry, as a disciple of the Lord, we've got to get back up. We might deny the Lord.
Yeah,
we're going to fall.
Yeah.
We might sin. And certainly we try not to. But when it happens, we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to seek reconciliation with the Lord
exactly.
and maybe with others.
Exactly.
And we get back up and we go back out into the vineyard, into the mission field.
Yes.
And proclaim the gospel.
Exactly.
Because it's, you know, just as we're going to see, they're all hiding.
Mm-hmm.
They're all hiding for fear
mm-hmm.
of their own lives
yeah.
at this point.
As we would too.
Exactly.
It's easy for us to say, I wouldn't have been hiding. Yeah, I would have been.
didn't someone say that? Oh, yeah, Peter said that.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, if you have the Peter complex, then, you know, you got to, it's not so much about, you know, they were so steeped in law and tradition,
mm-hmm.
and they're not that the law wasn't important, but there were times where they forgot about the mercy of God, you know?
Yes. Like they knew the letter of the law, but not the heart of the law.
Yeah. Come back any of these other 6 days and heal this person.
That's right. Why don't you come back on Monday?
Yeah, come back on Monday or Tuesday. Come on. And it, you know, we can get very legalistic with some things sometimes in a religious structure.
Exactly.
And structure, you know, obviously, I think human beings really like structure. God, there's a you know, God, there is structure in God's kingdom.
Right.
It's not a free for all.
Right. Do things in order, Paul says.
There's things in order.
But you don't want it to be rigid.
But when you forget about showing mercy,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, how do I want to say, bearing a hardship on someone
mm-hmm.
where you can show them mercy.
Yeah.
It's a very fine, I think, line of how do we minister to this person mm-hmm. in need? You know, and Jesus, you know, as we were talking last week about the healing on the Sabbath, Jesus ministered to that person in need.
Exactly.
He came to set the captive
free. And
that's
what the Sabbath was about.
And that's what the Sabbath was about, was the first fruits.
Yes, exactly.
Setting people free.
Exactly.
Giving the blind sight.
Exactly.
Giving the lame the ability to walk. Those who were imprisoned by sin, enslaved, giving them freedom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was about his mission. Uh-huh. And we have to be about that mission, because if we're disciples of the Lord, we don't create our own mission.
Right.
We follow the mission of the Messiah.
Amen. Excellent point. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like Paul's going to talk about, you know, later in Romans 9 and 10, he's going to say, of all the people that should have known this, these guys should have known this.
Paul Wilbur's
they knew
here.
All the scriptures. He is. Whoa, this is an awesome song. Anyway, let's listen to this song. We'll be back in a minute. Remember, look us up on giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Brother,
Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord, Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord, Min Ha'olam, Bat Ha'olam, praise His name, forever and again, Min Ha'olam, Bat Ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before the break, we were just mentioning these Pharisees who knew the scripture, who knew the prophecies, should have been able to figure out what Messiah was going to be like, what he was going to do, what these things meant.
Yeah.
But they didn't, because they were just so immersed in the legalism of the aspects of the law. And, you know, Paul, I love the book of Romans, as you all know, anybody who knows me, but, you know, the whole thing is Paul talks about, you know, the law doesn't have a remedy for you. It just shows you
right.
your fallings. It shows you your condemnation.
Right.
It doesn't give a remedy. Grace right. is the remedy.
Yes.
And these guys were so entrenched with the law that that's all they could think about.
Yeah.
And even though we were talking about this actually before we started the show today, even Caiaphas, the high priest, without knowing it, in
yes.
June, actually, why don't you find that, Steve? It's John 11, starts at verse 49. You know, Caiaphas was the high priest that year, and he actually made a very prophetic statement that he didn't even realize what he was saying, but what he was saying was actually the plan of salvation.
Yeah, this is in 47, chapter 11, 47 of John. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing, nor do you consider that it is better for you that one man should die instead of the people, mm-hmm. so that the whole nation may not perish.
Mm.
He did not say this on his own, but since he was high priest for that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God.
Wow.
So from that day on, they planned to kill him.
Yeah. There's Caiaphas the high priest, who is vehemently against everything Jesus is doing, and he actually makes a prophetic statement. Well, you know, it's better one guy dies than everybody.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
He's the sacrificial lamb who takes on our sin. He dies for us so that we don't have to die.
Right.
All the sins of the nation, and then he even adds people scattered abroad, and he's even going to include us defiled Gentiles.
Yeah.
All these sins are going to be paid for by this death. So it's better he dies than all of us die. If he doesn't die and isn't raised, all of us are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so Caiaphas, this jerk, makes this prophetic statement. He doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah. You know, it's similar to how God used Pharaoh.
Yeah, exactly.
When he led the Israelites out of Egypt.
Exactly.
But God uses each one of us in a certain way for the fulfillment of mm-hmm. his kingdom
mm-hmm.
and the fulfillment of his plan. You know, he says, I did not speak from some dark place of hiding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I speak openly.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word is eternal. God's word is life.
Yeah.
And it brings forth life and that's it right. bears fruit.
Yeah.
And it'll accomplish the will for which he sends it.
Yeah. And that statement that Caiaphas made is actually repeated in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but it was somebody awesome. It's talking about Jesus. It says, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone.
Yeah.
And this is what Caiaphas is saying. It's better we kill this guy than the whole nation be destroyed.
And, you know, even when Herod was asking the Pharisees, okay, when's the Messiah supposed to be born?
Yeah.
They knew where to go and look.
Exactly.
And yet.
Yes.
And yet they didn't recognize.
Yeah. And this idea of one dying for all is exactly what the true salvation is about.
Yes.
So later Paul can say, well, because of this, that's how we're saved. Well, you know, our old man is crucified, and now mm-hmm. we live in the Spirit because of this.
Right.
Otherwise, we can't live in the Spirit. Otherwise, we're still the old man, and we're still walking around with all this burden of sin on us,
mm-hmm.
and we're still walking around saying, gee, how can I keep all these laws when I'm a sinner?
Yeah.
And they miss the whole point.
Exactly. Yeah, as you're saying, we put on the new man. We put on Christ.
Amen.
We should have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, many times, as I'm sure that you have encountered and other people, if you're listening, have encountered that, you know, you're talking to somebody who's professing to be a disciple of the Lord, and they're acting in a way that is more carnal than they are in the Spirit.
Sure.
Or they hold, you know, we tend to hold on to beliefs that we had beforehand, or ways of doing things that we had before we became believers,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of still carry those with us.
Yeah.
Instead of giving them to the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, purify me and make me, you know, help me to have that mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and help
mm-hmm.
me to act in accord with the kingdom."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can tend to carry our carnal nature with us.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, our brain is stored full of memory.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a great flash drive.
Oh.
You know, it's like the ultimate flash drive. Our brain is, and we can remember everything.
Yes,
and it's amazing. I mean, you know, my dad had Alzheimer's. As the disease progressed, I was hearing about things that he did when he was a kid.
Yeah,
it was like
all stored in there.
I mean, on one hand, it was really heart wrenching to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it was like kind of fascinating because we're like, I never knew this.
Yeah.
You're getting this history lesson. And it was just, it was just so amazing that I'm realizing, wow.
Yeah.
All of this memory is stored in the human mind.
Right.
And God created this brain and it works this way.
That's right.
It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just was.
It's amazing.
It was amazing.
And nobody can understand what happens in the brain. But yeah. One thing's for sure, you know, Paul, and again in Romans, talks about the good things I want to do, I don't do. Mm-hmm. The things I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing.
Habit forming.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I'm talking about. We all have habits that we've formed as people.
Yes,
and when we come to the Lord, we need to put on the mind of Christ.
Yeah. And Paul talks about if we're united with him in his death, then we're going to be like him in the resurrection.
Yeah.
So this is the salvation. This is the plan of salvation. The law can't give you that.
Right.
You can follow, even if you could follow all 613 laws perfectly, you wouldn't have that newness of the Spirit. You mm-hmm. wouldn't have that joy of the Lord. You wouldn't have the freedom that we have.
Yeah. I was, you know, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about that as we were talking, is that, you know, this part of God's plan of salvation is fulfilled. Jesus is risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is going to tell his disciples when he sees them, but wait here for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So God's work is not done yet.
Yeah.
Jesus' work in the redemption of mankind is fulfilled, but now building the kingdom just begins.
Exactly.
And this is what, you know, as you're saying, if people were following the letter of the law and they didn't act in a way that was being a light to the nations.
Exactly.
And as a matter of fact, you know, they were not being that light because mm-hmm. they were afraid to be defiled.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Jesus tells the story of a good Samaritan, mm-hmm. somebody who was left for dead.
Yes.
Who helped him?
The
priest didn't help him.
Yeah.
The good Samaritan did.
This defiled half-breed.
Yeah, this defiled half-breed helped this person.
Woo.
And that's what the kingdom is about.
Woo.
Well, so
that's why Paul talks about in Adam all men die, but in Christ we all come back to life, just like he did in the resurrection.
Woo. Hallelujah, brother.
Amen. Well, happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day.
And we just pray that the Lord blesses you abundantly with the newness of life in Christ. And we will see you back here next week on The Gift of Grace. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.